You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, let's go to the scripture readings in Deuteronomy 29:29. Okay, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Okay, let's open up with prayer and we're got started. Father God, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for the opportunity to do that, and we thank you for the secret that you've given to us that we call the mystery. We're going to study the scriptures, and we find out today how you've declassified certain truths and made them available to us, and we thank you for that, and we mostly in your Son Christ and his resurrection and power and the position he has in the heavenlies, and that we partake in that position through the blood of Christ. And we just thank you for all that you bless us with, for his sake, and in his name we pray, amen. Okay, the scripture reading this morning was Deuteronomy 29:29. Now, the neat thing about that scripture is part A, meaning the first part, that it goes, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which we are revealed belong to unto us and to our children forever. So, you know, I'm a fan of certain shows. One show that I liked was Alias. Have you ever seen Alias? That's Jennifer Garner, and she was a college student, and she was the daughter of an agent in this secret society. And she eventually got recruited into the agency, what she thought was the good guys, and it turned out to be the bad guys posing as good guys. So the first season was her dealing with this issue. And the second season was eventually being able to come out with a secret that she had, knowing she was working for the bad guys, but she became a double agent for the good guys. It's really hard to explain. You have to see it. But, you know, I'm really a fan of those type of shows because they're really powerful in a sense. There's always secrets going on, and you're always trying to figure it out. You know, the writers essentially trick you and lure you into a false truth or something like that. And I thought, well, you know, there's an example of agencies in real life that are to behave in such a way that they keep certain secrets for the benefit of our country. Like, the first one I thought of was the CIA. If you look on here, the CIA was created in 1947. President Truman signed the Security Act. And that Security Act charged the Director of Central Intelligence with coordinating the nation's intelligence activities and correlating, evaluating, and disseminating intelligence with effects national security. Well, you wonder, okay, well, how many people work in the CIA and what kind of money do they spend to do this kind of activity? Well, from their website, they would say that the number of employees or the size of the agency's budget at present cannot be publicly disclosed. So we can't tell you how many people are in the FBI, and we won't tell you how much we're spending. So that's part of their secret. Well, when does the CIA declassify information? When do they think we need to know what they found out? Well, they say that indeed the CIA, like all agencies of the U.S. government, is charged by the Executive Order 12958 with instituting declassification programs to provide for the timely release of information it had previously classified. While intelligence information often retains its sensitivity for many years, even decades, there will eventually come a time when the information produced by such sources and methods can be released to the public without harm to the national security. So at some point in time in the future, they don't know when, but they feel there's a certain point in time that they can release some information to the public. While the executive order provides us authority to protect the identity of our confidential human resources indefinitely, and we must take care not to violate the confidence of any foreign government who chooses to work with us, the goal of our declassification program is to identify and release as much of the information as we can, as soon as we can, and without harm to our national security interest. So I figured that's really a good example. When a certain body holds some truths or secrets, and at some time they feel it's a good time to reveal it. Well, as the CIA is an example of a group using intelligence to ensure national security for the U.S., the Godhead is the center of intelligence for the eternal purpose and could be called essentially the Heavenly Intelligence Agency. The HIA reveals its intelligence activities through the Word of God under a certain executive order, which is Deuteronomy 29:29. Essentially, Deuteronomy 29:29 was said, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever." So, the executive order 29:29 is the seal that's in the middle of the HIA seal, if you see on page 2 here of your handout. And the people in these HIA essentially are the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So that was the group that was formed as HIA before the foundation of the world. Well, Romans 8:28 tells us, "We know all things that work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Ephesians 1:11b says, "According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Ephesians 3:11 says, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, what are some of God's intelligence activities that have been declassified by the Heavenly Intelligence Agency and progressively revealed to mankind? Well, we see from 2 Timothy 1:9 that God's own purpose and grace was given to Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, the meeting of the Godhead before the foundation of the world was where the Heavenly Intelligence Agency created several plans concerning mankind. These plans have been revealed over time at the right place and the right time to accomplish God's will and eternal purpose. We find evidence of this in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." John 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Well, the Godhead, the HIA, essentially set forth a primary policy for the heavenly state, which Christ Jesus in his shed blood. So we find in Hebrews 9:22, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins." Romans 5:6-12 tells us, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." You know, you see, the blood of Christ was really key. And the Godhead set that up before the foundation of the world, that Christ was the key to the problem of sin that was going to be entered into the world through Adam. We learned that when Adam and Eve was put in the Garden of Eden in a sense of perfection without sin, there was one essentially rule that God gave Adam, not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, if he didn't give him that rule, he wouldn't have a chance to sin. So why did God give him that rule? Because God essentially wanted to have fellowship with man, because for his pleasure we were created. Well, essentially we find that without that one rule, God wouldn't have been able to establish free will in mankind. So that free will was given to man, so he had an option to obey God. That option was his free will. And without that option, he would have been a robot. Essentially, he wouldn't have been the free will to choose from right and wrong. So God knew in the heavenly intelligence agency, before the foundation of the world, he knew what was going to happen. And they prepared a plan and hid the secret of that plan with him. So eventually he was going to reveal what his plan was. Now we know that he hinted of that secret, meaning the secret of Christ and the forgiveness of sins, through what he said to Eve. He said to her, well, through the seed of the woman, thou shalt bruise his head, meaning Satan. So he promised the seed of a woman. Well, it took him several thousand years for Christ to be born of the woman, seed of a woman. But eventually, when he was born, that fulfilled that promise. So it's really amazing to look at how he determines, he reveals the secrets that he has to us through the scriptures here. First Peter 1, verse 18 through 21. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and from gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Why was this program established before the foundation of the world and revealed over time to mankind? Well, we find that sin was going to be the threat to the affairs of heavenly state and the eternal purpose of God. Essentially, we find in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O God, or Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. By the way, I mean to tell you, I'm sorry the way the handout came out, because you have to flip the wrong way, and it really, that's one thing that when you select print, and you walk away, and you come back, that essentially it's too late to start over. So, please bear with me as you flip through that. Well, Genesis, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, back when the big boo-boo happened, essentially they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Well, down to verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he started releasing that secret that he had before the foundation of the world of a Savior. Verse 17, And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all of the days of thy life. And in thy sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So he drove out the man, and he placed on the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. See, if Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life after they had sinned, you would essentially have eternal sinners. So the curse of death came to mankind when sin came into the world. We see that in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the blessing that we receive from Adam, the blessing of the benefit of sin. Romans 5:12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, we find the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, sin passes on through the seed of the man. That's why the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she was able to give birth to a sinless being, to Jesus Christ. The fact that most any other child born in history of man, the fact that the seed is passed on through the sin of Adam, and it takes a man to conceive a woman in the woman. So the fact that sin was a part of the part of the birthing process that we contribute to our babies. So we find it's the gift of Adam here, and by death cometh by that gift of Adam. So a large portion of the heavenly policy was declassified by the Godhead upon the resurrection of Christ. So, essentially, Jesus came on this earth and ministered unto Israel, and essentially Israel rejected him. And when he was raised, they felt it was a good time to reveal certain secrets of the fact that Christ was now in the heavenlies. We see that in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So there was a reason to keep that secret. Had they known it, they would not have crucified him. You know, I imagine that Satan, when he was here, was really fired up to crucify the Lord God. You know, he failed at tempting him. He always had attacked the seed of the woman throughout history. And that last moment when he was on the cross, I bet Satan was jumping for joy. But when he died, he rose again. And with that risen Savior, he conquered death. He conquered sin. And boy, was he probably really bummed out. But, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which have God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto his by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of given unto us. Okay. Now we have not received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of which is of God. Now, that we might know the things which are freely given us to God. Which thing also we speak, not of the world which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we are saved, we get a new nature. And that new nature is essentially the Spirit of God. And we're at war now with our own bodies. So we essentially have served God with our new natures, but our old nature is still around and kicking. So at that time, it's warfare. So we're supposed to feed the new nature to have it grow so we can be of service to him. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how by Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say you some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is in vain. Yea, we are found falsehoods of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ is not raised, for your faith is vain, yet ye are in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So he was comparing Adam here to Christ. Essentially, the curse of Adam was overcome from Christ. Now, the people in Scripture, certain sect of the Jews called Sadducees, there were Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. And mostly, if you didn't believe in a resurrection, he went into great detail here to say, you're really goofed up. There is a resurrection, and Christ was raised and became the source of life in Christ. Now, 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Ephesians 2:4-8 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace we are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Well, it was a big relief to us that he declassified Christ and the meaning of Christ's resurrection to us. But there's more. There's more. What other intelligence secrets have been revealed by the Heavenly Intelligence Agency? The last body of truth declassified was a sacred secret revealed through the Apostle Paul. So there is a certain other handout that I sent with you. Let me refer to that now, the Progressive Revelation. This chart was created by Michael Penny. We all know Michael Penny of Open Bible Trust. And he does a really good job with writing a bunch of things on the concept of right division. On the back of this certain page is a chart that's titled A Dispensational Approach to the New Testament. So, basically, this last truth that I'm telling God revealed to us is a post-Acts truth. Basically, when Acts 28:28 came around, God sent off the Apostle Paul to write Ephesians. And he classified the biggest truth of all in Ephesians, which is our position in Christ, far above all principalities and powers in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And he told us about this truth. The Apostle Paul did, in seven books. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. The Apostle Paul was used to write 14 books in the New Testament. And the last seven were when was he given to reveal this truth, the declassification of the blessings that came along with Christ here. Now, before this declassification of truth and the mystery, the Gentiles, meaning us, were considered dogs. We weren't a part of the nation of Israel. Essentially, everything was targeted to Israel. They had blessings in the new covenant. They had blessings of a land. They had a city blessed to them, New Jerusalem. But essentially, when they crucified Jesus Christ, they put all those blessings on hold. And it looked as if everything that God had promised came to an end, and there was nothing else for mankind to consider. But this was the greatest secret that God had held before the foundation of the world. And he decided at the time it was to reveal it. He revealed it through Paul unto all the Gentiles, in which we are. It was a real blessing. So, in this chart, Michael Penny wrote, it's a good example of how truth is progressive in the Bible. So, take for instance the first line. In the Gospel period, it was almost exclusively Jewish. In the Acts period, it changed to Jews still dominant their first place, but post-X period, you find that Jewish and Gentile Christians are equal. You find that in the Gospel period, Abraham has 30 references. In the X period, he has 40 references. In the post-X period, there are zero references. Any one of these things is amazing if you study it. For instance, there are no tongues in the Gospels. Where the people in the Acts period, they were speaking in tongues as a sign to Israel of unbelief. In the Acts period, there was post-Acts period, there were no tongues. Baptism. Well, in the Gospel period, there was one baptism in water by man. In the Acts period, there were two baptisms, one in water by man and in the Spirit in Christ by Christ. Water baptism was necessary for Jewish Christians to receive the Spirit. Water baptism is not needed for Gentiles to receive the Spirit. Now, the post-Acts period, there is one baptism in Spirit by Christ. Christians receive the Spirit upon believing the gospel of salvation. Water baptism is not necessary. there's significant amount of differences in the post-Acts period from the Acts period and Gospel period. And those significant changes are part of that secret that's revealed unto us through the Apostle Paul. Now let's look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. Now, Paul, in telling us this, he's more or less pretty excited. He was chosen to, as the apostle, to reveal this great secret unto us. Now we're on page 6 of the handout. We're starting at verse 3 in chapter 1. Well, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted unto in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom we have also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, that's a mouthful. The fact that God, in verse 4, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The heavenly intelligence agency sat at the table before the foundation of the world, and they picked you to be where you are. And that is in Christ Jesus. So, even more so, we receive the inheritance of Christ. Well, chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. Paul said to us, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the heavenly intelligence agency has classified some very important truths for mankind to read in the Bible. You have to ask yourself, are you informed? Reading the Bible is all it takes. God is demonstrating his wisdom unto the principalities and powers in the heavens with more to come. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So there are principalities and powers up in heaven that are watching. They're watching the manifold wisdom of God being shown to them in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, who am I? Who are you to partake of this great secret? You know, are we worthy? Have we done enough to be a part of the crowd? Do we do a certain dance and we get a pin? What does it take to be part of this secret? Well, when should you share a secret? You know, say you're given a secret. When is it okay to tell somebody about it? Well, you're supposed to keep a secret until it has been revealed. until you're given the okay to tell the secret to others. You know, often we've grown up being told secrets, and we haven't been very good at keeping them. So, in that sense, the God felt it was important not to tell anybody about this secret until it was time to reveal it. So the fact that when you should use Sarah's secret, it's when it's been revealed by those who gave it. So you've been given a green light to share it with others. That's the time it should be told. So, you know, this secret now is not a secret. It's been revealed. And he hopes you are one who will leak the secret to others. Colossians 1:23-28 talks about this. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for my body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to its saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This is what he is so excited to tell you about, and he wants you to tell others, that this position in Christ Jesus is just incredible. It's fantastic. And it's what he has revealed unto us, and we need to grab a hold on and take it, make it ours, and tell others also. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the secrets that you revealed unto us, and we know that right now is the time you would have us go forth and tell everybody about the mystery and the great secret that we have in Christ, Lord. And we thank you for all the things that you do for us. Heck, we just don't even know how much you take care of us, but we know you're constantly taking care of us in our lives and our purpose and our glory. And it's all for your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for the calling that you have us partake in, and just a great time to be part of Christ, Lord. So we thank you in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.